Jack 1-2 Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL coming at y'all live and direct from Max City Limits, man, MaxCity.com. And in the spirit of combat, man, and good old friendly debate, we are back. Oh, yeah, man, the gift that keeps on giving, my man Obsidian Ali. He basically did a reply to what my boy Tony did, pertaining to some of the things that he said on some of his prior shows. And once again, we have some disagreements. You know what I mean? Hate to beat a dead horse, or, you know, but still, man, there's some things that that I have some exceptions with. And of course, you know, Tony has some exceptions with. So for our, you know, go ahead, man, and say what's up to the people, Tony, because we've been gone for a while. We'll get into why we've been gone, you know, man, a little bit later. But go ahead and say what's up to the people, man.
What's up to all the brothers and, you know, everyone out there in the Max City universe. You know, we hope everybody's doing, you know, exceptionally well on this Labor Day holiday, this four-day weekend. We're just checking in right quick just to clear up some misconceptions and bullshit. That's what we do best. We dispel bullshit. So that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Vector, man. Vector, man. He got this weird habit, man. It's crazy, man. It's like the last time he hit me up, man, we was in a situation where we was about to do a show, and he just hit me up, man, about an hour ago. You know what I'm saying? Hollering at me. I'm like, God damn, man, I'm about to do a show, pimp. He's like, ah, man, we're going to do a three-way. We need to do a three-way. Shit. I'm like, well, shit, man, we'll work on that a little bit later, man. Let me go ahead and knock this one out the park with my partner. Okay, well, check this out. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and start off with the major, because I don't really have too many things to actually say about Obsidian. You know what I mean? You know, it's obvious that everybody has a problem with his personality and his character, I guess. He has some characteristics in his personality that rubs a lot of people raw. I don't necessarily have that, but, you know, I did take exception to him saying that you bowed out or you did not want to debate him, and that is not true. When I was doing my interview with Obsidian, I basically told him, in the spirit of good faith and goodwill, you know what I mean, because I did sense there was some sort of tension between you guys, you know, on the message boards, man. I was like, due to the fact that I really appreciate and I like what Obsidian was doing, I don't want this to deteriorate into, you know, some sort of, you know, nigga moment, man. So I told Tony, no, I don't think you should be on this one. Tony wanted to get on. I'm like, no. I said, I'm going to have this man on. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a nice, peaceful discussion. I don't want it to degenerate into anything. Also, can you say what happened before that? Because it was, he wanted us to come on his show. What was that?
Well, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to clear this up.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give people the whole story and not something taken out of context.
Okay.
You remember when we did the show back in June? I was in Alabama.
Right.
And we did the show back in June about the beef between Alan Roger Curry and Mr. Ali.
Right.
And I suggested that there was something deeper other than what was being said.
Okay.
And I was right.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I said was, I made a comment to the, when I criticized him, and I criticized his ability to be repetitive, and the fact that if he ran up and, you know, said some of the things that he said to his listeners, to a woman in real life, mm-hmm. you know, they look at him like, nigga, please.
What are you talking about, Curry?
No. If Obsidian ran up, because you remember he was talking about, oh, you know how the old man get down. You know, we fuck first and we chop it up late. I said, any bitch in the street will look at him like, nigga, please.
Okay.
You know, so he got upset because I said, one, he wasn't appealing.
Okay.
He wouldn't appeal to the women in the streets. He got upset about that. And he got upset due to the fact that I also said that shit he was talking to didn't work in real life. That's the long and short of it.
Okay.
So after the podcast, and after it was on the books, I got an email from him.
Okay.
And he asked me, is this you? I said, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then he responded back and said, he offered me to come on his show.
Right.
And right then I said, oh, no. I don't walk into ambushes.
Okay.
Because I know that anybody that's against him, him, he tends to talk over them.
Right.
Or I wasn't going to put myself in the position for him to push the mute button on me. I don't do Fox interviews.
Okay.
But what I did was I told him, I said, well, you can come to our platform on Mac City.
All right.
I said, but I'm not going to do your shit. I don't walk in the setups.
Okay.
So he said, I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Okay. And that was it. So then he hit the message board. And when he hit the message board, he started in making a whole lot of points and contention. Now, he had, interesting enough, he had no problems with what I said about Alan Roger Curry.
Okay.
It's just what I said about him.
All right.
So then he put on his message board all these divergent points. He accused me of making non-sequitur arguments while making non-sequitur arguments. He accused me of red herrings while making red herrings.
Okay.
So then when I said, well, you know, you don't have, I said, nobody has, you know, you don't have, his issue was you have a right to a preference. And my thing was, okay, you can have a right to a preference, but what do you do when you can't obtain that preference?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you want a 7 or 8 or 9 doesn't mean you're going to necessarily get one just because you want one.
Right.
And he says, well, I never said what I meant by preferences. I said, that's the whole point. You never said what you mean. So I'm asking you, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he still never said what he meant.
Okay.
So we go back and forth. We go back and forth on the comment section for 2 hours.
Mm.
2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up with, men have a right to their preferences. End of.
Okay.
And I said, shit in one hand, prefer in the other one. And see which one gets full quick.
Oh, okay.
And he said, well, that's an old proverb. It has no relevance. I said, well, in my opinion, there are no new experiences. I said something to the effect, there are no new experiences. They're just old. They're just new actors.
Right.
They're old experiences with new actors. So the proverb is, then he started some shit about the UN has preferences. I said, you picked the wrong, that's the wrong analogy. That's another thing. He doesn't know how to correctly apply an analogy.
Okay.
I said, now that doesn't prove your point because everybody ignores the UN. Nobody gives a fuck about what the UN wants because the UN doesn't have an army.
Okay.
They don't have a military. So fuck what you're talking about. You know, I don't give a fuck about your preference. That doesn't prove your point. So then I guess he knew he fucked up then. So then he jumped on, well, men have a right to their preference. And that's when I told him that. Then we ended up on, what's this girl, Feminist Jones. I said, that woman told you she didn't want to be bothered. Leave her alone. Well, you know, I'm a journalist, nigga. You're not Ed Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Morley Safer.
Right.
The woman done told you, leave her the fuck alone. Leave her the fuck alone. Period.
Okay.
You're starting to look like a fucking stalker. So then he said, well, we have a right to our preferences. And then, that's what I told him that shit. He said, well, we can hope. I said, well, keep hope alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended right there.
All right.
So at that point, with that exchange, I knew there was no point in me trying to debate him on his platform. But again, I invited him here. And so subsequent to this, I think he contacted me and he asked me, no, it was after Alan Roger Curry's interview. Sometime during that period,
mm-hmm.
before and after that period, if I'm not mistaken, he contacted me and asked about being on the show. I said, well, I don't run that. I'm just a host. I'll put you in contact with the guy that does. And I put him in contact with you.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
And after I put him in contact, that's when all this stuff you said, well, it's probably better if you not come on. Because, again, after a while, if I'm arguing with you, just say we agree to disagree. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Or number two, if you can't admit that your argument is wrong, just go to the next subject.
Okay.
But don't change the fucking argument every time it's a hole in it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So I said, well, okay, well, Mac thought that it was, you know, proper that I not get it. And I said, I'm good with that.
Okay.
So what happened was I think I submitted a question.
All right.
And when the question was, he said that nobody, he didn't say, he didn't spell out what he meant by preferences. He didn't define what he meant by preferences. And my issue is, he said, well, I never said that men were entitled to 7, 8s, or 9s. And I said, okay, if you're talking about preferences, what, most, even if he's an ugly motherfucker,
right.
What person is going to prefer ugly women?
Hmm.
You didn't supply a definition, so we use the definition that we use when we t- talking with each other in conversation. When people are talking about preferences, they usually mean hotter women.
Right.
And the hotter women tend to be 8s, 9s, and 10s.
Right.
So what the fuck are you talking about? If you're entitled to have a preference, yes, you do. But your preference is not entitled to fuck with you. That was my point. So what do you do when your preferences don't prefer you? And that's a question that has not... Well, yes, he has. He has given an answer. Xbox is a better option.
Okay.
So go play your fucking Xbox. Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Oh, my God, and man.
So then when that happened, I said, well, no, I'm not doing that. Then, of course, you had your interview. And so I hadn't thought no more about it. And so he did some podcast, and I made a comment to Alan Roger Curry, and the inferiority thing is what he got upset about.
Okay.
And that's why he responded, and then I responded. He came with these fucking two podcasts, totally misconstruing my argument and taking it out of context and so forth and so on. And so here we are.
Here we are. Okay, man. All right. Well, one thing I really want to get to, right, because first of all, let's get to what the main premise of the argument is right here. When we're talking about women and men and who's more horny and what makes women horny and what makes men horny. His argument is men are more horny because of testosterone and women... You know, I don't know. He's saying women do not have the sex drive that men have. And he's basically stating that we don't have any empirical evidence to state that women want sex just as much as men. And I wanted to go ahead and defer that back to you because you said you did dig up something that he would consider, hopefully, empirical evidence and not anecdotal evidence.
Well, no, he won't, because he'll make a distinction and he'll change the parameters of it. Do you know... I got a name for you. Roderick George Toombs. You know who that is?
No, I do not.
Let me call him by his other name. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
This is interesting. Okay.
When Piper came to the WWF today, WWE, they set him up in this segment called Piper's Pitch. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
The first segment he did was with this Puerto Rican out of Columbus, Ohio. Piper verbally dressed the guy down, beat his ass, and he ended Piper's pit with this comment. He said, just when they think they have the answers, I change the questions.
Okay, keep that in mind. All right.
When we talk about this argument,
okay.
So let's start at the beginning. His argument goes like this, and I'm going to draw it out logically, since he said that black men don't know how to logically reason. Men have testosterone.
Right.
Women have no or little testosterone.
Right.
Testosterone is the chemical that makes men want to fuck.
Okay.
Men have more testosterone than women. Men want to fuck more than women. That's his conclusion.
Right.
And so on the podcast, when I asked him, I said, well, where's your evidence saying? I shouldn't have to say that. I shouldn't have to say it. You see what I'm talking? This is him now. You see what I'm talking? This is Mr. Empirical Evidence now.
Right.
You see what I'm talking about? You see what we have to deal with in Black America? You see what we have to deal with? Something that I got to argue something that is, this is my word, axiomatic. Look it up, nigga.
Okay.
It's accepted as gravity. It's like gravity. It's like the earth being the earth being round versus the earth being flat. Now, totally overlooking that at one time gravity was a revolutionary idea. That the earth being flat, round was a revolutionary idea.
Yeah.
The status quo was that the earth was flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Question. Let me ask you a question before I just start. Is a quarter round?
Is a quarter round, yes.
Is a quarter flat?
Yes.
In the words of Obi-Wan Kenobi, many of the truths that we cling to depend on a point of view.
Right.
Let's get to the argument. Okay, anytime you make an argument, what you do, what you're supposed to do, is if you present an argument or you present a position, what you do is you find the counterpoints. You have to approach that. This is scientific thinking now. Mm-hmm. You approach that premise from the standpoint of saying, I don't believe this. Mm-hmm. So you look for every possible way to dispute that conclusion. If you can't dispute that conclusion, then it holds up.
Right.
That's how it's done. You look for counterpoints, and then those counter arguments, you either use those counter arguments to validate your argument or they invalidate your argument.
Okay.
He didn't even do that. He didn't even do that. That's what lawyers do when they argue cases.
Right.
They have a position, but then they search for legal cases that cut against their argument, but then they explain why their argument is different. Okay?
Okay.
So, is there evidence? Is there counter evidence? The answer is yes, there is. This is Mr. Citizen Journalist now.
Okay.
This is Ed Bradley for the Everyday Bubble.
Okay.
He didn't bother to look for it. And here it is. Wayne State University conducted a study. The Wayne State University Department of Gender and Woman Studies and Studies on Sexuality conducted a study to determine if women are less sexual or women want to fuck less than men. I'm going to make this plain because we're going to misconstrue my argument anyway.
Okay.
So I'm going to make it plain. All right. The article, the findings were partially summarized in an article by the British Broadcasting Company. The article is actually online. You can look it up. It's called The Enduring Enigma of Female Desire. And I'm going to read some sections for it, but anybody who gets this, you're welcome to go read the whole article. Here's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a portion of it. We're coming to realize that male and female desire might not be as dissimilar as we typically assume.
Mm-hmm.
For decades, researchers bought into society's belief that men have higher desires than women, since larger studies consistently confirmed that finding.
Mm-hmm.
So what this means at this point is he's arguing the old position. This is Mr. Empirical Evidence.
Right.
He done got caught arguing some old shit.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Okay.
But more recent evidence reveals that the difference between the sexes may actually be more nuanced or even non-existent depending on how you define or attempt to measure desires.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some studies have found that men in relationships, and I'll qualify it before he will, long-term, are as likely as women to be the member of the couple with the lower level of sexual desire.
Okay?
The study goes on. It don't stop there. It says past studies typically ask participants things like, over the last month, how much desire have you experienced? When that question is posed, men do typically rate higher than women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right.
But when the question is revised to ask about in-the-moment feelings.
Yeah.
In-the-moment feelings.
Mm.
Keep that phrase in mind.
Okay.
In-the-moment feelings. The amount of desire experienced in the midst of a sexual attraction, scientists find no difference between men and women.
Okay.
One of the authorities in this article is Professor Lori Brado from the University of British Columbia, the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. She's mm-hmm. also a practicing psychologist. She says that this challenges the gender-related stereotypes about women being passive and not sexual. She said it also suggests that the factors that elicit desire in the moment might be equally as potent for men as they are for women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is she saying? She's saying that female sexual desire does not depend on testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to say? He's going to say, that's a really hammering argument. No. You made the argument that because men have testosterone and women don't, that makes them more sexual.
Right.
What the article is saying is that sexual desire, when it's measured differently in women, the sexuality of the two genders is the same.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what this article is saying.
Yeah.
Now let's go on. Mm-hmm. Let's go on. others have found that women's desires waxes and wanes with their menstrual cycle.
Yep, sure do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
During women's peak period of arousal, which occurs around ovulation, their sexual motivation is just as strong as men.
Mm. Yeah, man. That's true.
This is Dr. Lisa Diamond,
man.
Professor of Psychology and Gender Studies at the University of Utah.
Right.
Dr. Diamond then goes on to say, women don't have lower sexuality than men. What they have are more variable patterns.
Okay.
In other words, there are more things that turn them on and get them hot.
Okay.
Other than testosterone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're arguing that for his conclusion to hold up, because men have testosterone and women don't, that means men want to fuck more than women. But do women have something equal to testosterone that would make them just as sexually active or have the desire to be equally sexually active?
They definitely do. They have a myriad. They have multiple things that,
thank you,
that trump that.
And that's what the professors are saying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah. I have to say this, man. You know, as far as like when I be listening to Obsidian, man, I like this is the very first thing that I just have to say, my nigga, you absolutely wrong about this one, man. You are absolutely, and like I said, man, this is going back to the pimping, the porn, working in security, man, at the strip clubs. You know, it's just like being in the fight club, man. It's like a secret society. Very few men know, you know, the nuances about how women really get down, man. And nigga, I know how women get down. Everybody listen to me. Everybody listen to this podcast, man. Look, listen. Don't let these niggas fool you, man, about how these broads gets down, man. They got to have it, man. And just because they don't manifest it to you, don't mean that it won't manifest to some other cat. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you, man, they be wanting to get down, man. This, when I hear Obsidian talk about, man, they don't want a lot. I'm like, nigga, and once again, we go back to subjective experience versus objective. He just don't know no better. And I can say that because at one point in time, I guess you could say I was him, because I think like in the early 1990s, I was like having conversations with a lot of my player partners, man. Of course, keep in mind I was married. And I wasn't really into the life back then with the pimping, the porn, and the security and shit, man. And my partners was always telling me that they would have these women, man, and these women would be doing threesomes and foursomes, and women would be sucking them off and swallowing they cum. And I'm married, man. I'm like, I had a good woman, but she was kind of plain Jane in the sack, man. And I was like, damn, man, and I had some side bitches every now and then, but I could never really find the holy grail of just freak bitches, man. I'm like, so I was kind of looking at these niggas with the side eye, like, these niggas is lying. These bitches ain't out. And this is before being, bisexual and, lesbian and gay was in vogue with these broads. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like, I don't believe these cats, man. I don't believe them. I'm like, they getting all these orgies and women sucking them off and swallowing them and doing it in the parks and stuff. Like, that shit ain't happening to me. This is like 1992, 1993. But, bro, once I made that move to step over to the dark side, nigga, I seen it. I was like, oh, shit. They wasn't lying, man. These broads is off the Richter, man. They off the scale with this shit. So, yeah. I got to tell you, you're wrong on that, homie. Go ahead.
Now, keep in mind now,
mm-hmm.
It said in the moment feelings.
Yeah.
Not a hormone.
Right.
In the moment feelings.
Right.
In the moment, meaning you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Alan Roger Curry said that evolutionary psychology won't get your dicks up,
yeah,
you better believe he's right.
In the moment, son.
Okay?
Yeah.
So here is the empirical evidence that squares up tightly,
mm-hmm,
with Mr. Curry's anecdotal evidence, which is not the sum total of data.
my God, man. Now, what year was this? Hey, but what year was this study? You know?
This study was 2000. This article was 2016, and the study was actually, I think, 2014. The Wayne State University study is 2014.
Okay. All right, so there we have it. You know, it would appear that you have dug up some empirical evidence done by some prominent, what would you call them, scientists?
Yeah, professors.
Professors?
Yeah, professors and scientists
okay.
of women's studies and psychology and obstetrics.
And once again...
Yeah, women saying this.
Yeah, and once again, their premise is women wanted more or just as... They want just as much, if not more, than men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
That's their premise. That measuring, that using testosterone as a measuring stick mm-hmm. for the level of sexual activity or the level of sexual desire or the desire for sex in men and women is both false.
Okay.
It's false.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because yeah. women have different triggers.
Mm.
And that's what his guy Buss said, but I get to Buss in a minute because okay. that's going to be the fucking iceberg that sinks the Titanic.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So let's go on then. In this same article, other research finds that testosterone and desire are linked only very indirectly,
mm-hmm.
and that sexual activity has more of an effect on hormone levels. Testosterone is a hormone.
Right.
Other research finds that testosterone and desire are linked only very indirectly, and that sexual activity has more of an effect on hormone levels than hormones do on whether someone actually desires sex.
Okay.
You mean he didn't take the time to look this up?
Well, you know,
this is Mr. Empirical Evidence. This is Mr. Black Folks Don't Understand Research.
Okay. But Tony, you know, hey man, shit, asking that is like saying, hey, the world is round, you know.
No, the world is flat. The world is flat.
Oh my God, man.
Okay. Now, let me conclude.
Okay.
Let me finish, excuse me. Sexual thoughts increase testosterone in women, and that's a subject you never touched.
Mm.
Is there testosterone in women?
Very little trace amounts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's keep going.
Right.
It says sexual thoughts increase testosterone in women, as does sexual jealousy. And then Professor Sari Van Andes, Associate Professor of Psychology and Women's Studies at the University of Michigan at Auburn says, and she concludes, thinking that sex just comes out of testosterone is such a falsehood.
Who said that again?
Associate Professor Sari Van Sanders, Associate Professor of Psychology and Women's Studies at the University of Michigan.
Mm. Okay, then. All right. Basically stating that, you know, testosterone and the sex drive thing can be a misnomer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
She says it. Mm-hmm. Sex, the thinking that sex just comes out is such a falsehood.
Okay.
This is the empirical evidence now.
Okay.
but here's going to be the out. Oh, that's an article. That's secondary. See, that's what's wrong with black people. They go to secondary resources. They don't deal with secondary sources. They don't deal with primary sources. I got a bullet for you in the chamber. Just hold on.
Oh, shit. Okay. All
right. Okay. Going on. It said even the variety of feelings during sex itself had gone unrecognized. Women do not necessarily experience the same progression of excitement, plateau, orgasm, and resolution that men do. Instead, the order is often shuffled. And here's what they say. Here's the point. It says sex itself can be the trigger for desire and arousal.
Mm-hmm.
Or a first orgasm may lead to a desire for the second.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is it's not testosterone. It's not a hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the very act that would make women want to fuck more.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a pleasant experience, if they experience an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Notice.
Right.
Testosterone don't have anything to do with any of this.
No, it don't. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So, it says, often for women, genital physical arousal precedes the psychological experience of desire. Often for women, genital physical arousal precedes the psychological experience of desire. Diamond says, this is Dr. Lisa Diamond, one of our earlier professors. She says, desire, whereas in men, desire precedes arousal. Desire, however, does not necessarily entail the wish to engage in sex with another person. She's saying, okay, I'm going to go. He says, each woman is different in terms of preferences, and those preferences may change at times. Women may sometimes or always desire solitary masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
So the desire is there to fuck.
Right.
But they may desire to masturbate instead of actual penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So, and this article, again, I invite anybody to go through this. Look through it. And they also made an argument with respect to porn. You're going to love this part.
Okay.
You're going to love this part. Because this applies to you and your holes. This applies to your anecdotal data.
Okay.
So, he brought up porn as evidence that women don't like the fuck, because he said women are always trying to get porn banned. That's evidence. That shows you right there. That's self-evident. That's evident. Here's what the article says about porn.
Mm-hmm.
It says that diversity, meaning the diversity of, triggers for sexual desires, that diversity is now reflected in porn.
Right.
A relatively new development. Though women have always been involved in the industry, until the 1980s porn, it was largely geared toward a male audience.
Right.
When home videos became available, however, porn previously only shown in theaters became more easily accessible to women as well.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up on this, female directors began creating porn. Marketed towards women. Now, his premise, because he don't swear that this is a non sequitur or a red herring argument,
mm-hmm.
that's going to come out of his fucked up mouth.
Okay.
But his argument was that porn is a male thing. I'm summarizing his argument.
Yeah.
Porn is a male thing. And the fact that usually the loudest cry against porn are women. So that's evident. That men's desire to fuck or their sexual desire is higher than women. And here's an article saying that female directors are beginning to get into porn.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't even the best part.
Okay.
Female directors began creating porn marketed toward women, which often took a softer approach, with storylines lacking in violence, for instance. The stories has continued to evolve, however, with porn made by and consumed by women, including erotic Victorian vampire sequences, all male gay porn, monster porn, and more.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more diverse now, because
right.
people realize that women are also perverts.
Yep. And let me add on to that, man, because of the fact that previously, man, like in the 70s and 80s, man, women were all up in arms about the porn. A lot of that was basically because porn was their competition. You know what I mean? It's a situation where if you have a man and he's lonely, you know, his outlook would be to go to porn or to go to a prostitute. You know what I mean? And if he does that, that basically takes the power out of, like, the everyday woman walking the street. You know what I mean? Because she can basically dangle the pussy in front of him and get him to do all sorts of stupid shit, man. But if he has porn, or if he has access to a prostitute, you know what I mean? The everyday female doesn't have any power over him, man. So a lot of the females, a lot of the rank and file everyday females out here, they seen porn as a threat and they seen prostitution as a threat, because men were not going to be subjecting themselves to the everyday stupid shit that a lot of these females would, you know, subject them to, man. So that's really the main reason why a lot of these females was all up in arms about the porn and the prostitution. It didn't have anything to do with the low sex drive or morals per se. They were just basically looking out for their bottom line. You know what I'm saying? But now, just like what you're talking about, these females, now they getting into the game. Now they basically opening up the floodgates for their own style and their own taste of porn. So now you see the scales, you know, evening out, man. So it's very interesting you bring that up.
Women are also perverts.
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's see what we have here with respect to this argument. We have a poorly researched and poorly argued conclusion.
Okay.
He said that his point is accepted as evident.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, Mr. Ali has not done any in-depth investigation.
Mm.
This is what happened. You remember Cliff Notes?
Yeah.
You know what those are?
Yeah, that's a condensed version of a...
This is...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a condensed version of a piece of work, of a book.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, when you read the Cliff Notes, but don't read the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Man, oh
this
man.
Is what, this is what you have. This is a Cliff Note commentator. This is a Cliff Note intellectual.
If you're a Max City player, man.
Journalist. Yeah. You're a Cliff Note commentator.
Oh, my God.
But when the question, that's why the professors would fuck you up in college, and yes, I went.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the professors would fuck you up. They know them goddamn Cliff Notes are in the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
They would give you questions that required you to read and explain information that's outside of the Cliff Notes. Why? Because you had to read.
Mm-hmm.
See, the people on that, on his little comment section, they ain't gonna read none of this shit. They ain't gonna even explore to see if he's telling the truth. They're gonna accept it. That's true. Here's a nigga spitting outdated, outmoded information and trying to spin it as though it's true and telling you that he shouldn't have to prove it because it's self-evident. Now, when he opened that podcast with a section from Mr. Buss.
Right.
And here now is the silver bullet. You know where all of this information can be found?
No.
Primary source in a book by Dr. or Professor Cindy Weston, co-authored by Dr. David M. Buss.
You talking about all this shit that you just kicking? All shit
yes,
you
sir.
Talking about?
Absolutely.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's in a book. And you know what the book, you know what the book is called?
No.
Why Women Have Sex.
Shit. Well, check it out. Well, how do you explain what Buss said at the beginning of Obsidian's rebuttal towards you about, you know, walking around the college campus and they were doing that survey between men and women and sex? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, I remember.
Okay.
He took it from a speech.
Okay.
He took it from the speech. And if you recall, the clip was very brief, but the clip didn't go into detail. He's using that clip to assert the fact, again, to reinforce his point,
mm-hmm.
that men want to fuck more than women.
Right.
Because of testosterone.
But yeah, I can explain that shit, man. I can explain that because the premise of it was that, that women were basically asked, do you want to go back to my room and fuck? Was
yes.
that it? And the women
yes.
were like, ew, no, I don't want to do
yeah.
that. And then when the same question was flipped to men, they're like, hell yeah. But I'm like, yeah. man, come on, that's real simple to answer, man. I mean, we living in a so-called, you know, sexually repressed society still, you know, with puritanical, you know, philosophical points in it, man. And, you know, women still don't want to be seen as sluts. You know what I mean? So anybody that comes and hits them with that shit straight off the bat with a so-called survey, of course they're going to front. Like, ooh, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I mean, bitches lie all the time, man, when it comes to that situation. They may, you know, be like, ooh, yeah, I really want to do it. But yet and still, you know, in the face of having a survey like that, I mean, how many women are really going to be forthright and say, ooh, yeah, I want to go back and fuck you? You know what I'm saying? I like, you know, because I deal with that shit all the time, man. You know, when you're dealing with a female, you know, and, you know, her, you know how you do it, man. You got to weigh her actions, you know, versus her words and shit, man. It takes
that
a real...
That sounds like desire triggers. And those are varied.
Yeah, they are.
The article, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. So it's like...
So explain to me If that's laid down, how the fuck does that have to do with his argument? How does that prove his argument?
It really does prove his argument, man.
No. And then the winner's going to shake Duke Jackson. Stop the show. Stop the show.
Stop the show.
I'm
like, man, no, man, you just go, don't go out there, you know, and be like, hey, you want to come back? You want to go fuck? You know, just on some survey. I mean, I can't remember, was it actually presented as a survey or was it actually presented as real life shit? Like, did a guy actually go up and just ask these females, like, you know, like he was serious, be like, yeah, you want to come back to my spot and fuck? Or was it actually presented as a survey? Like, if someone came up to you and said, hey, they want to go take you back to their dorm or fuck, would you do it? You know, I can't remember if that, you know, it depends on how it was presented to the females. You know what I'm saying? But in my mind's eye.
That's what the article is saying.
What?
It depends on your presentation.
Okay.
It depends on the in the moment feeling.
Right, right.
You have to be on the field of battle.
Right.
The women's variable patterns, women's patterns of attractions are variable.
Right.
They're various.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm weighing that, you know, against my experience, man, with all the people that I've met, man. I mean, I'm dealing with a female right now, man. You know, bless her heart, she ain't really my cup of tea, man. But that's all she talking about, man, is, you know, when can I come over and when can I suck you off? You know, when can we do it? And, you know, and I don't really want to fuck with her while her seeks its own level. Shit. You know, she a big chick, cute as hell, man. But, man, you know, she ain't my cup of tea, man. But she trying to get it in, man. And she is bugging the shit out of me, man. I just wish she stopped calling me, man. It's like, because I'm going to have to, you know. I don't want to be rude to the girl, man. She will not stop, man. Red bone, big titties, green eyes, but she's just too big for me, man. She's too big. It's too much work. So I'm like, bruh, man. So, yeah, I go through this shit, man. I go through this shit. So when, you know, Alan Roger Curry talking that
problem.
Shit.
That's your problem.
What's up?
You talking about anecdotal evidence, and that is not the sum total of
data. That's not the sum total? Shit, I got 25 years of anecdotal evidence, man. And these females
see, black people tend to value their personal experience over the empirical evidence. In black America, we give great credence to personal experience and not empirical data. Here's the fucking problem. The empirical data and the anecdotal evidence, which I would really argue is not anecdotal, is direct.
Right.
The empirical data verifies the personal experience. That's the fucking point.
Boy, I'm trying to tell you, man. It's like, man, it's like a man Obsidian, man. He, you know what I'm saying? You know, he just don't know, man. He don't know no better, man. He don't know no better. And, you know, there's such thing as, you know, just being a little bit too so-called book smart, man, and not having any sort of real-world experience in the situation, man. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I got the book smarts, and, you know, I got the real-world experience to go with it as well. Go ahead.
The dirty little secret is he's not book smart, but I'll get to that later on.
Okay.
All right. Again, you're dealing with a cleft note commentator.
Okay.
He's a cliff note commentator. He's a cliff note intellectual. That's what he is.
Oh, my God, man.
That only works until you run into a motherfucker that's going to research. Okay? Now, let's go on to the next point here.
Okay.
Obesity.
Uh-huh.
He mentioned that. Because what I did, his premise was that there's a mating crisis in black America, one, because based on a CDC study, they said that black women are the most obese out of all women.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought up that wedlock birthday. And I said, my question was, don't you shoot yourself in the foot with that argument? Because a 70% out of wedlock birth rate destroys the argument that there's a mating crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Here was his reply. I'm talking about long-term marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a look at what he's saying. There is a long-term mating crisis for the everyday brother because the women are fat. Mm-hmm. And they have children. Let's deal with the fat portion. Then he went in, because he knew I had it when I mentioned that scarlet woman.
Okay.
So then he crept, he bobbed and weaved and said, well, I hip to waist. He started talking some about hip to waist ratio and fat in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't answer the question of the definition. That answers your question. See, that's what this is all about. The dirty little secret, this ain't about the everyday brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him.
Mm. Okay.
Because hip to waist ratio, under their standard, that CDC report that I recalled, I could be wrong,
mm-hmm.
didn't say a damn thing about hip to waist ratio.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
It didn't say a damn thing about hip to waist ratio. It didn't say a damn thing about their facial features.
Mm.
Well, let's deal with the attraction. So what you're telling me is, according to him, now I'm going to use his words.
Okay.
Attraction is based on, to him, what makes his dick hard.
Mm-hmm.
So my dick will get hard to impregnate you, but not to marry you.
Mm.
Attraction is the stimulus for the short-term mating, and it's the stimulus for long-term mating. How can you have two different factors? Excuse me, how can you have the same factor but different outcomes? You know how? There are other considerations other than what he's posing.
Right.
But when he put that in his podcast, he said it was because they were overweight and they were having children.
Mm-hmm.
He came back in the pod in the response to me now. He said, well, he was smart enough to do this. He said, those are not the central, but it plays an important part. Well, motherfucker, there are many things that play an important part.
Mm-hmm.
An engine is an important part of a vehicle, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Isn't a tire an important part of a vehicle?
Yeah.
Isn't a battery an important part of a vehicle?
Yeah.
Isn't a damn alternator an important part of a vehicle?
Yeah.
So to pass off true factors as though they are exclusive of a mating crisis where there is, again, a fucking 70% out of wedlock birth rate is ridiculous.
Mm.
So the fact that I'm going to impregnate you means fuck you with no protection and nutting you and not marry you is not indicative of saying that they're unattractive because they're overweight or having children. It's indicative of saying somebody's irresponsible.
Right.
you see how that works?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's deal with the out of wedlock rate.
Okay.
Because I have some empirical data.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Indiana University, right next door to us.
Okay.
2014 study. The study, I'll give you the name of it.
All right.
It's not just there, it's also a study conducted by the Kinsey Institute. Here it goes. The study is dating and sexual behavior among single parents of young children in the United States. The article is published online at the Journal of Sex Research. Okay? Right. The authors of the article, Peter B. Gray, Jim Nevada, Las Vegas, Justin R. Garcia, Indiana University, Benjamin S. Crossier, Geisel School of Medicine, Dartmouth College, and Helen E. Fisher, Rutgers right. University.
Okay.
All are affiliated with the Kinsey Institute. Again, you can find this information online, and the direct evidence is also the sources are there contained. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to read you the beginning. I'll go through this whole article because people can read this for themselves.
All right.
Okay. Contrary to what is often assumed about single parents, particularly single parents of young children, a new study from the Kinsey Institute has found that single parents of children younger than 5 are sexually active as often as single parents without children,
okay.
And more so than single parents of older children. Does that square with your experience?
Yes.
How many times have you said you look at these kids now, or these freaks? I remember when your mama was pregnant with you.
Yep.
How many times have you said you look at these kids and you think, God damn, I was fucking your mama when you was 2?
Oh man, boy. Yeah, I say that all the time. Well, to myself. I'm saying to them.
You say it so much that you look at them now and you feel ashamed.
Yeah, man. Like, oh man, I did them wrong. I got it all on tape. Oh my God.
Okay. So this concept about there being mothers, about them having children, this flies in the face of them being less attractive because they have children. They fucking, women with children are fucking just as much as women without children, man. So how you gonna tell me it's a mating crisis?
Ain't no crisis over here, man. They getting it in. They all getting it in. Shit, they was coming over here 8-9 months pregnant wanting to get it in. I was like, damn, girl. Like, you about to bust, man, and you still trying to get it in, okay? Like, where your baby daddy at? What's wrong? Shit, man.
And I'm going to read the sample size.
Okay.
The study involved 5,000. They said it's representative. This is their position. And if you want to argue that it's not, and I know you will. The study involved 5,805 single adults, 2,830 single women, and 2,975 single men, with 84% noting previous romantic relationships. Meaning that somebody was attracted to somebody.
Right.
Ain't that what you got to have?
Yeah.
Ain't attraction necessary to make your dick hard?
Yeah.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Well, once again, I always thought he was more so talking about a mating crisis in the aspect of, you know, rearing intelligent children or, you know, having intact families. That's not his position.
His position is there are no attractive people.
Oh, okay. All right. No attractive people. Okay.
Here's a study that tears that to shreds.
Okay.
It says, with 84% noting previous romantic relationship experience, the sample included heterosexual, which they constituted 86.2%, gay and lesbian was 10.6%, and bisexual was 3.2% of the singles. Of this sample, a total of 2,121 were single parents, and 342 were single parents with children 5 or younger.
Okay.
Sir, does that not square with your experience?
Yes, it does.
So I guess your experience is the sum total of data.
It's not anecdotal?
Yeah, you're anecdotal.
Shit, man. Yeah, it squares with, you know, what I see, what I've experienced and dealt with, man, for the past 25 years, man.
Yeah. You mean you and Alan Roger Curry are right?
Shit, man. Hey, I always known we was right, nigga. Shit, we got a boot on
the ground. Shout
the show. Hey, man, there ain't no substitute, man, for some School of Hard Knocks, man. Ain't no, you know, motherfucker, he can read all the motherfucking studies he want, man, but till he out there in the goddamn lion's den, man, shit, man, niggas don't know what the fuck they talking about.
That's the whole point. He ain't read the studies. He read the fucking Cliff Notes.
Oh, wow, man.
A Cliff Note intellectual.
Oh, my God.
not losing us because you are over our heads.
Oh, my God.
You're losing us because you look like a complete fucking ass.
Oh, my God. Jesus, man.
Your conclusions and your premises do not connect. Your evidence is antiquated. Your analogies don't apply. And your definitions and words and diction, look it up, are taken out of context. So you think you talking to us like you David Buss, but we looking at you like you Oswald Bates from Living Color. Because you make almost as much sense.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Jesus, man.
So you're not talking over our heads. You're not talking over anyone's heads.
Mm-hmm.
Even somebody that makes an argument would know to go and look at the counter argument or the criticisms of that argument and know how to make that argument stronger. Mm. How to present that argument more effectively to shoot down any challenges.
Right.
But you haven't even done that much. Mr. Scientific Thought, Mr. Scientific Process.
Hey, man, let me ask you something. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll save it for later. Go ahead.
When I said that Dr. Buss's theories, and I used an incorrect word, I should have said Dr. Buss's conclusions.
Right.
Dr. Buss's conclusions, as cutting edge as they are, when you look at them holistically, when you read the whole thing holistically, you will see that Dr. Buss's arguments don't confirm any argument he's making.
Right.
And he threw him under the bus. He said Dr. Buss never answered his question.
Mm-hmm.
When he was agreeing with me. Oh, yeah, by the way, he said, remember with the argument, water seeks its own level?
Yeah.
And I used that. He said that the fact that the man was a two, the fact that the man was a one and the woman was a two proved his argument.
Right.
Now, what nigga gonna think that a bitch that is a two...
Shit, even if he is a one, that's still not an upgrade, man. That's come on, man. You're getting ridiculous there, old man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
A two is
the whole
still
thing
busted.
Is ridiculous.
A two is still a busted bitch.
Yes. Ask him would he date a two?
Oh shit, man.
Ask him would you date a one or two? I guarantee he'll tell you no.
Shit, man.
You remember now, this is a dude who got so upset that his mother tried to fix him up with quote-unquote busted homie chicks. He, not only did he not go to his prom, he didn't even go to his own graduation.
Mm.
He was that indignant. So if I parade a two in front of a nigga and a one in front of a nigga, what are the odds he gonna take the two over the one? Even if what are the odds? Even if they are 1 point apart, what's the odds?
You like, I ain't gonna fuck with none of them bitches, man.
Thank you.
They still on the same motherfucking farm. Shit, man.
And he attributed an argument to me that I didn't make. I didn't make the argument. That shows you he didn't listen. I didn't make the argument about strippers.
Right.
You did.
Right.
And he said that somehow confirmed his findings.
Yeah, I forgot.
I don't know how in the fuck that happened, but he claimed it did.
He did actually say something that made some sense. I can't remember what it was, though. But you know how he do it, man. You know, he switched the argument up so much, I kind of got lost. That's one of his techniques.
That's one of his tactics. All that bullshit in between there. And again, if you're going to use the cliff notes, here's a hint. The conclusion should not be different than the conclusion in the cliff notes. You don't read the cliff notes of a fucking book and give it a different conclusion than what the book says.
Ooh, wee, man.
If you gonna take somebody's information, also take their conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Alan Roger Curry, and I'm not dropping Alan Roger Curry's name to make him come into it. I don't do that shit.
Right.
I'm just using Mr. Curry's name to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pass off your subjective opinion as objective truth.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Right.
Because when it's hit with inquiry, when it's hit with critique, that shit falls apart like a vampire kissing sunlight.
Right. Shit. I'm ready to ask my question now. You ready? I have to ask this, man, because even though I do understand, why the black manosphere does have a problem with Obsidian, and I can see how, you would have your problems with him, man. But, damn, man, I just see this venom. This, it's like this real authentic hatred for this cat, man. And it's kind of, I'm missing it. I'm not really understanding why, I can see why, with O'Shea, man, how he was extreme, because I seen that little thing they did, man, where they had that get-together, and they was trying to address their grievances with him, and I seen how Obsidian, he ducked, and he dodged, and he obfuscated, and he deflected, and he didn't want to answer nothing directly. I can see how that would irritate a nigga, man, but, don't a cat like that kind of, to a degree, deserve your pity, man, because when I see that, I don't be mad at the nigga, man. I'd be like, my nigga needs some help, man. He needs some cats around him, man, to help guide him into a better way of thinking or something, man. You know what I'm saying? But everybody has this venom, this super duper, I need to chop this nigga head off, kind of, because I'm listening to you, man. I don't really ever remember you talking this animated about a nigga, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to get to, where's your mind at when you talking about Obsidian, man? I'm trying to get to the kernel. What is the deal with this irritation with this dude, man?
You know what the irritation is?
What's up?
It's dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hubris.
Okay.
Me, personally, when I argue, I'm a passionate person anyway.
Right.
But what it is with a lot of people is dishonesty and hubris. Or should I say hypocrisy and hubris. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to come to me and you said you pity him.
Right.
Well, a lot of people pity him, so they just don't debate him. It's not that they're ducking him.
Right.
They just don't feel, just like you can debate this guy. But what good is it going to debate? This guy is asking for an honest debate.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be dishonest in an honest debate.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you going to debate somebody in an honest debate that's going to be dishonest?
Right.
Somebody that's going to change the premise of their argument when it falls apart and still keep making the same conclusion. When he changes the premises and the premises completely invalidate the argument.
Right.
You know how ridiculous that is?
Yeah.
You know how pointless that is?
Mm-hmm.
And then when somebody asked him, they said, well, this thing about black men being needing training.
Mm-hmm.
When they asked him that, and O'Shea asked me, are you referring to me? Well, no, I'm not referring to you. So are you referring to Angry? No, I'm not referring to him. Well, are you referring to... No, I'm not referring to him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you said everybody... you were talking about the audience in general. So if you're not referring to her, us... Well, no. What I meant was, I meant more like discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And something else he said.
He said basically organization or something like that.
Yeah, discipline and organization.
Right.
But you listen to them podcasts, he ain't talking about discipline and organization.
Mm.
Can you honestly listen to the last podcast he's made and think that he's talking about organization and discipline?
Mm.
That's not what he's saying.
Right.
So what happens is, when he get his chin checked, face to face, he bow his head. But then he get back on his radio station and double down on the shit that he couldn't say when he was in front of him.
Mm. Mm.
If you got a point, defend it.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the 80-20 rule. Here's the disingenuous now. He said that, you know, that we were just you know, going over old talking points, that he was just butthurt that he couldn't get the women that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said he went after the women that he wanted and he got them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went after the women that you wanted and you got them, how can you identify with the everyday brother if you say that there's a mating crisis?
Okay.
How can you be the voice of the everyday brother when that situation... See, the same thing he did to Alan Roger Curry. He said Alan Roger Curry didn't speak to him, for which he apologized for. But he said that Alan Roger Curry is not reflective of the experience of the everyday brother. Well, neither are you.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to speak from that premise?
Now, how is he not a reflection of the everyday brother?
Well, he said because, you know, when he didn't have to settle. So he just went after the women he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But he said there's a mating crisis for the everyday brother.
Okay.
So if you're getting what you want, you ain't the everyday brother.
No, I'm talking about Obsidian. You said Obsidian's not an example of the everyday brother.
Yeah, right? Because he's saying the 80-20 rule don't apply to him.
Oh, okay.
Right. Well, he's implying it. Let me not say he said it. He's implying it.
Right.
See, the 80-20 rule don't apply to him. Neither does water seeking its own level. That don't apply to him.
Mm.
And we never said, do you recall a time that we ever said that brothers should settle for women that they don't want? Have we ever made that argument?
No.
Have we ever even uttered those words?
Nah, no. Mm-mm.
If you don't want what's available to you, fuck it. Xbox is a better option.
Mm-mm-mm.
Go play your Xbox and shut the fuck up.
Shit, man.
And well, then when you say, when people are listening to you and you say, well, I don't do solutions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do solutions on talk radio. That's a bunch of shit.
Mm.
Talk radio. And then again, here's his problem. Incorrect or inapplicable analogies. Howard Stern and Rush. Howard Stern's a fucking shock job.
Right.
But by definition, you're a citizen journalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't compare yourself to Howard Stern. And then he said Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is a right-wing talk show pundit. Rush Limbaugh is advocating a solution.
Mm-hmm.
He's just advocating it for a particular group of people. You want to know what solution he's advocating? Small government. Big military.
Right.
Which is the antithesis of small government.
Mm-hmm.
Cut back in entitlement programs. Anti-homosexuality. The typical conservative diagnosis of the problems in America. That's what he's arguing for. He's arguing in favor of those solutions.
Okay.
So to say that talk radio does not advocate solutions is a lie. No, if you are entertaining someone, you don't have to do any solutions.
Right.
If you're entertaining someone, then you don't need solutions. But you're talking about, you're not entertaining anyone. You're talking about black female fuckery and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But check this out, man. You know, one thing that I did that I really found impressive, man, is like when I was listening to that hangout, man, you know, I was peeping Angry Man, and you know, I peep everybody in their style and their steez and how they handle everything, man. And of course, Angry Man, he was being quiet through all of this, man, you know, and of course, I kind of understood why he was doing it, you know, because he's made this stance before, you know, when he had his first little tiff with him and shit. But he basically stated that, you know, man, he said he don't want to add to the bullshit. He don't want to add fuel to the fire, man. His main thing is he wants to hold the Black Manosphere together and to basically, you know, come on this thing and just start lobbing bombs at Obsidian, man. You know, he knows ultimately that's not really going to help. His main thing is he wants to keep the ball rolling, man. He want to keep the organization thriving, you know what I mean? And the inner turmoil and the inner strife, you know, that's not going to add. That's not going to help the situation, man. And that's kind of like where I'm at, man. You know, I likes to fuck with cats, man, on shit that I agree with rather than the 10% that I disagree with and shit, man. So, of course, he has some character flaws, man, some personality traits, man, that would rub a lot of cats raw, man, you know what I mean? I would just hope that a lot of dudes, man, would just kind of like, you know, let that, you know, like water off a duck's back, man.
Well, but here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Having the character flaws is one thing.
Right.
That's one thing. Okay, that's what you're... But to come, wrap a towel around your neck.
Right.
An attempt to fly above others in direct contradiction to the law of gravity is ridiculous. Here's what I mean when I say this.
Right, right.
You can have a difference of opinion with people, that's fine.
Right.
But to somehow suggest that those people, or to somehow imply that your intelligence or your intellect is over those people's heads,
right.
Now you're going too far. Especially when you're lying. Especially when you're taking information out of context. Especially when you're using old information. Especially when you're misusing vocabulary words.
Yeah,
that's what makes people upset. It's not the fact that he has a different, or that they can't understand it. It's the fact that you're trying to tie a towel around your neck and play Superman, but you're actually the Lord of the Flies.
Oh my God.
That's what irritates people, is to make these people believe that they're somehow inferior to your thinking process. That's what pisses people off. It's not that anybody has a problem with him using big words. People don't care about that shit. And Angry Man did a podcast to respect to this, to respect the position. He did a podcast to this.
Yeah. Afterwards, he kind of came out and, you know, with some fire and brimstone. I seen that.
You know.
Yeah.
So using words, and here's an example. I'm sorry, but I have to do it. I don't mean no harm, but I have to do it. There's an email somewhere. It reads, "Come on to the show and enjoy the conversation and all things Sundred."
Right.
What does Sundred mean?
Shit, tell me.
Word. I'm looking at it. Sundred means, it's an adjective of various kinds and several. Synonyms, various, varied, miscellaneous, assorted, mixed, diverse. He's trying to say diverse.
Right.
Come on the show and enjoy everything of various kinds and several. That sounds stupid as fuck, doesn't it? Why can't you just say, come on the show and enjoy the diverse opinions? Now, you don't have to use vocabulary the way I use it.
Yeah.
My point here is that using words does not indicate a superior intellect, nor does it indicate that you have a superior form of intelligence. Okay. One of my heroes, Dr. John Henry Clark, the late Dr. John Henry Clark, here's what he said. He said the epitome of intelligence is to take something complex and make it simple. If you can't explain it in simple terms, you don't really know it.
Right.
So intelligence is not the use of complicated vocabulary. Or polysyllabic words.
Ooh.
That's not what intelligence is.
How many syllables is that? Polysyllabic. Okay.
Shit. Yeah. It's five syllables.
Okay. Four or five. Shit.
The use of polysyllabic or polysyllable words doesn't denote intelligence. It denotes you've been in a dictionary. Mm. That's all it means. You've been sleeping with a dictionary.
Okay.
I'll stop there.
All right. Good Lord, man.
So, I say that to say, just because you use language, your language doesn't intimidate anybody, especially when people look up to see or look up the definition to see if you in fact know what you're talking about. And frequently, when one checks behind you, you don't. Mm. Take the towel off your neck, lower it up the flies.
Okay, break it up. All right, check it out, man. Shit, Black Manosphere, Negro Sphere, all that, man. Y'all hold that shit together, man. Please, fellas, man, hold it together. And I like to tell all my players, man, you know, the show's been coming slow. Me and Tony, man, we've been doing our thing in the courts. I done told y'all. I don't know if I have, man. I haven't gone into depth, man, but I have a lawsuit against a certain entity out in California, man, and it's going real well. I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to speak on it till it's all done, you know what I mean? But until then, like I said, man, we downtown, we in the courts, we in the law libraries, you know, big props to my partner, Tony, man. I couldn't have done this without him. Without him, I would have shelled out $3,000-$4,000 worth of legal fees, man. But thanks to my partner, man, you know, I've only had to shell out maybe about $500 so far. So we're doing real good on that. And I just haven't really been in the mood to fuck around with this show right now because, you know, I'm frying bigger fish, man. And I also kind of like rethinking my business model, man, when it comes to the whole podcast joint, man. So there's going to be some changes coming to the Patreon real soon. Most of y'all are probably going to hate it. But it must be done because that which does not adapt becomes extinct. And nigga, I'm not about to become extinct. You feel me? You know what I mean? Be on the lookout. We got a new series coming out, man, called Game for the People. That's where me and Tony sit down and we hit y'all with a lot of legal shit, man. Of course, we are not lawyers. We will emphasize that. You know what I mean? Always seek legal advice, you know, from professionals, lawyers per se. But, you know, we're going to put a bug in your ear to help you out, you know, irregardless, man. So be on the lookout for that, too. But for right now, me and Tony, like I said, we got our minds on something. We're trying to get a big payday here, man. So, you know, my mind has been occupied doing other things. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and just sign out. But, of course, no, I'm not going to let Tony say nothing else because he'll start saying some old crazy shit.
No,
I got to
say something.
No, Tony, no.
Yeah, I have to.
Okay.
Go to my blog.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Go to my, I have a blog.
Right.
It's www.powerandstrategy.com.
Okay.
I write articles on history, social events, and there's some things down entertainment. You'll see some chess examples there with Maurice Ashley, the first black grandmaster, and you'll see different things there with respect to chess strategies and things like that. So please go to my blog, www.powerandstrategy.com.
I'm
done.
You're right. I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah, that's what's up, man. All right, Fat Mac, Almighty Triple XL, with my co-host, man, Tony Dreamer, Magnus Magneto, nigga, Fucius. And we are out.